Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the 23 Podcast, wherever you are, whenever you are listening. Thank you so much for making us part of your day today. My name is Parker Kern, here as most of the time with our good friend and pastor, Father Jeff McBeth.
I do what I can.
You do what you can.
I do what I
you
can.
Do it very, I you try do it my very best. Well.
You know, but sometimes, you know, I'm just at camp or something.
It's okay.
I try to be around. I enjoy this.
Me too, Father.
I enjoy this.
This is the best 23 minutes of my week.
You know,
I was going to say my life.
Wow.
My week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe a little too much there. No, this is great. This is great. I mean, we've been doing this now for, what, a year and a half almost together?
Yeah, at least, if not more than that.
We're inching up closer to 100 episodes each
Whoa.
Week.
Whoa.
I know.
Yeah,
we got to do something fun for the 100th.
Well, of course, I mean, they're always fun.
No, but we got to do something big.
Extra fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should, like, do a pizza party or something.
Yeah, that's right. No, pardon me.
Oh, I got cheese on my, cheese on my chin. Yeah, I don't know.
We could have a cage match with you and a pirate.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you versus me. I was like, I'm not going to hit you. No,
pirate. Can be like the big.
You want me to beat up a pirate again? Calling back to last week's episode.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, the rematch. That's what
you want the rematch. Well, I'm 1-0, man.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned.
You have no need of a rematch.
No, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to invoke that rematch clause because I've won the thing.
Yeah, meanwhile, there's a pirate out there with a picture of you on his wall, and he's, like, bent pressing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And, you know, jumping.
I'm sure it really
he's,
affected
like,
that
really
kid.
Trying to, he's, like, he's gearing up for it.
Well, again, I mean, you got this little wiry 5'7", maybe 160-pound kid, you know, in a leprechaun costume, which at that point was basically just, I mean, by the time I got my suit off, it was basically just a white dress shirt with a little bow tie.
Right.
I mean, I took off the jacket and the vest and everything and the hat, you know. So, I mean, I basically look like a... you know, an office worker,
right?
You know, with green pants and just beating the crap out of this guy. I guess I don't know. So you want me to? Okay.
I knew someone who used to wear green pants to his office job. So they're not mutually exclusive.
Okay, well there you go.
However strange it might be.
Unfortunately, I don't know if I could fit into them
the green
today.
Pants, yeah,
I think I could. It's close.
Like we talked about a few weeks ago, maybe the green pants now come with like a stretchy waist. You know, so you can cheat.
Yeah. Yeah, like if they were golf pants or something or like lifestyle pants, I'd be all for it.
Yeah, they make leprechaun outfits.
Or the five pocket pant. I've really been fans of the five pocket.
Mm.
You can kind of cheat because they're like basically they fit like jeans,
uh-huh.
but they feel like they look more like khakis.
Oh, uh-huh.
So like you can kind of cheat a little bit.
Right, they look dressier.
Right, but you can. They got the stretch, like the give of the jeans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because nowadays again, you buy jeans. I mean, they're more expensive every day. It seems, but. You know, the technology is there, I guess. I mean, I'm wearing jeans right now, and I feel like I'm just having some lounge sweats on because they're very, you know, they're stretchy.
Thank you, technology.
I know. But the five pockets are basically the same kind of deal.
Yeah.
I'm a big, you know, as much as people hate on this retailer, I'm a big fan of American Eagle.
Hmm.
And I know most people probably stopped shopping there after they were like 12.
Yeah.
But
is that why they hate on them?
Yeah,
I've never been in one.
Oh, you go there, you know. Oh, I used to shop there in fifth grade, you know.
Gotcha.
But they got good pants. I don't buy the shirts with all the graphics on them anymore. I'm a little past that.
Right.
But, you know, almost one time bought one as a joke because I remember there was this one photo I saw of Marissa when she was young and she had this big pink one with you know, the massive, like, Right. So... I was almost going to get one and be like, oh, look at my new shirt. And, you know, parade it around like I had just bought a, you know, Versace something, you know, insane. But I didn't. I chickened out and I just got the pants instead.
Yeah.
But, yeah, guys, if you're looking for pants, American Eagle.
American Eagle.
I'm telling you.
Let's go.
All sizes, you know.
That's right.
I mean, I always try to get I'm a weird size because I'm like a 31-29. I'm like a double odd.
Mm-hmm.
You don't find a lot of double odd.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes I have to get them online or they'll have to, like, they're like, oh.
Custompants.com.
Right, yeah. I, like, go up to the counter. I'm like, you have 31.29.
And
they're
they
like.
Just laugh at you.
Oh, no. Yeah.
This guy again.
Yeah, they're like, not, no. Just go to, customer service online.
Yeah.
Ready? Okay. So, anyways.
They give you 31.32s and a pair of shears.
they're like, okay, have fun with that. Little project, little DIY project.
That's right.
You never know. So, yeah. Okay, so far we've got a cage match scheduled, and I'm going to wear American Eagle pants during it, and green American Eagle pants.
It's going to be the best 100th episode ever.
Oh, man. Yeah. Now, are we going to, like, I mean, certainly you'd want to have some sort of video feed, because if not, I'm just going to be making a bunch of noises, and people are going to ask a lot of questions.
I would do a, well, it'd be like, radio broadcasts of sporting events. I can do like a play-by-play.
I'll be like Orson Welles.
They'll know exactly what's going on.
So you're gonna like Keith Jackson it?
Oh, he was on TV, wasn't he? He probably started on radio.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the matchup of the century.
Yeah. That's right, sophomore.
Yeah, this is Father Jeff Macbeth reporting live from Perrysburg, Ohio.
Whoa, Nelly.
That's right. There you go.
I grew up with Keith Jackson.
Oh my gosh.
He did all the Michigan games.
Miss him, man. Yeah, I miss him. I mean, nothing against today's, you know, commentators of sport, but there's just something about those older guys. Yeah. You know, even Al Michaels. I mean, getting to listen to him sometimes, like on Amazon, it's a treat.
Mm-hmm.
It's just great. So
yeah, and they were not biased like your one guy, Gus.
Oh, Gus?
Yeah.
Gus Johnson?
Yeah. You can tell who he's rooting for.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's not supposed to root for anybody.
The whole game. So. Yeah. Well, I got to hand it to Herb Street, though. I mean, as much as people have hated on Herb Street this year, I mean, he's an Ohio State guy. And, you know, last week they won the national championship in college football. And he you could not tell.
Yeah, he's a professional.
Until after the game, and then he starts crying. I'm like, well, I mean, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, whether you're, you know, a fan of that sport or not, or you're a fan of that, you know, guy, you have to at least... You know, give him props for not being like, oh, this is my favorite team ever.
That team from down south.
Yeah, that team from down south for us. So, anyways, but Father, what else is new with you?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I just sort of do my thing.
You're just kind of into the sweater rotation now.
It's that time.
It's the most wonderful time
of the
You still listening to Christmas music? We're
I mean,
we're not to the presentation yet.
No, I don't listen to Christmas music hardly at all. Mm. I think I did it right around Christmas.
Yeah.
It's just not my...
No Mariah for you? She's gone? No. Oh, gosh. Okay.
So, no.
The amount of running gags we have on this show is great.
Yeah.
Maybe for the 100th show...
That's right.
We should go back and listen to all the running gags and put them in a list.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. So...
Oh! Okay. All right. Anybody out there who wants to help us with that?
That's right.
We'll pay in pizza.
Yeah,
we'll give you a pizza. Something. I don't know.
We'll come to
the pizza party before the wrestling match.
Exactly. That's right. At least we could do.
Yeah.
At least we could do.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, doing well. It's, you know, it's great. It's all good.
Yeah. Staying warm this week.
Yeah. It's all good.
A little better.
Yeah.
Heard the forecast next week's going to be 70.
What?
No, it's not. Wouldn't that be great though?
Not really. Like, remember last February it was like 75. I'm like, this just ain't right.
I don't know, man.
Like, I like 75, but not in February. It's like there's just something wrong about this picture. Yeah. I like it super cold, like we talked about, but I 75 in February it just seems not in Ohio.
Well, I always feel like whatever, you know, like every action has an, you know, equal opposite reaction, right? So I'm always like, okay, if it's 75 now, then it's going to be like 40 in the summertime.
Yeah.
Like that's what I was constantly worried about.
Or it's going to be zero in January.
Right, exactly. And we're going to get like Armageddon snow.
Yeah.
And I think this has been, in terms of, if you're a snow lover or a cold lover, this has been the winter for you.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of snow.
Right. But like we've had more than we have had in...
We certainly had the cold.
Yeah. But recent year, I mean, if you're comparing it to like last year and 2 years ago, and I'd love to have official numbers from, you know, Mr. Chris Vickers.
Right.
But, you know, I think that we would probably, I think we probably surpassed recent, just maybe the last couple of years.
Yeah.
In terms of total snowfall. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm a weather junkie, you know. I enjoy weather. I obviously can't prognosticate it very well or do anything, but I'm always a fan of, you know, I'm always looking at the radar and be like, oh, it's going to be a big storm. You
That's
know?
Right.
It's going to be a big one. I'm always the, you know, when my dad used to go out, you know, like every Midwestern dad and, you know, look at the tornado.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, can I come? And my mom was like, okay, you can go up for like a minute, then you have to come back down, you know?
So. Yeah. A group of priest friends and I were hanging out for a few days back in the summer, and they had like a tornado warning. And we're all like running out. They're telling you to, you know, duck and cover, and we're all running outside. And my one friend was like, at what point did we like ignore like tornado sirens?
Right.
But, you know, another friend's like, well, yeah, when I was back at Ohio State, like, you know, all the, you know, people from California were freaking out, you know, until we see something, we're not worrying about it, you know? And, I guess, just maybe because it happens so rarely, you know, that, you know,
do they test them here in Perrysburg?
The sirens?
Yeah.
That's a good question. You know, I guess once in a while I hear something, but
yeah. Well, because the reason I ask is first Saturday of every month at 10 a.m., BG does theirs, and we're not far from it.
So
and it literally sounds like something, and you know, it you get used to it, right? Uh-huh. And you go, oh, it's first Saturday. Uh-huh. But sometimes when you're like not thinking about it, you're like, what? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's interesting.
Yeah, it must be far away because I don't really remember hearing it a whole lot.
Mm, that's okay. So it just, as long as if there is an emergency, I hope you hear it.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, Father Jeff's just on his deck back there.
That's right.
Everybody else in the neighborhood was like, get down!
Tornado got him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I like to think that I could go inside if a tornado was coming, if I was sitting on my back patio.
Yeah, you'd probably see it. And
yeah, I'd probably, yeah, right. I'd probably decide it was time to go inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be fine. Yeah. You'd be fine. I got that nice basement. That'd be good. Mm-hmm. So, all right, Father. Well, we are now into a special feast this weekend, the presentation of the Lord.
You got it. February 2nd, mm-hmm. 40 days after the Nativity.
40 days.
So it falls on a Sunday this year, and so it takes the place of the Sunday in ordinary time.
This has been a really
something special.
This has been a really cool like Christmas season. Like mm-hmm. this whole Wednesday Christmas thing is really mm-hmm. great because mm-hmm. we got the baptism of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got the presentation of the Lord on
now
Sunday.
We got them all.
Like
the
this
whole story.
Is really awesome.
Yeah, we get the whole story. It's great. So this is Luke chapter 2, verses 22-40. Of course, it's a short version. That's 22-32, but I like give people their money's worth.
Oh yeah.
So when the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accord with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was devout and righteous, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. There's a lot there.
Yes.
So interestingly, we talk about when Jesus was, born, kind of to a poor family in a poor place, no room at the inn, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The offering of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons was the offering that, the poor people would have made. That's kind of all they could afford. So that kind of continues to go along with that theme, the simplicity and the poverty. That the God of the universe was willing to be born into. Yeah,
just a simple guy.
Man, there's so much. Interestingly, the Simeon's prayer, that six-lined prayer, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace." So it's part of the Liturgy of the Hours, actually, is night prayer. And so I pray this every night as part of the night prayer. And the Liturgy of the Hours. So kind of cool that a prayer of Zechariah at the birth of John the Baptist. We do that in the morning, every morning, and then Mary's Magnificat is part of the evening prayer every day, and then Simeon's prayer is part of night prayer every night. So it's in some ways it continues what we've been talking about this whole Christmas season with Jesus being the light.
Right.
You know, he says the light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for your people Israel. I mean, it harkens back to his birth, it harkens back to the Epiphany, you know, with the light, the glory, you know, all that. And so it really does, you know, as I talked about, you know, kind of completes this Christmas nativity story, you know, on this 40th day.
Right, and right on the heels of last week's gospel where, you know, we heard that Jesus was the fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And now, again, kind of building on to that, you know, something that stuck out to me, I mean, there was a lot that stuck out, but the thing that probably hit me the hardest was right at the end when, you know, the child grew and became strong.
Mm-hmm.
What a telling and multi-meaning sort of line that was, you know? I mean, if you think about it, obviously fully God, fully man, mm-hmm. right? But in his human side, he did need to develop and grow.
Right.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't like he just miraculously came down as a 30-year-old man.
Right.
Like, there was still all that development and growth and, you know, going through puberty and growing facial hair, probably better than I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at that and you just... And again, like you said earlier, with the sacrifice. I mean, this Savior of ours was relatable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was in a poor household.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
I mean, he was one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we talk about that all the time. And right. you know, oh, he was human and he was man and he was God, but this guy was. He was here. He was with us, and he was just lived like we did.
Mm-hmm.
And it really strikes me that, I guess that he just, I mean, I'm sure his life was a lot different than mine, clearly. But if you look at that and you just go, like, we all go through that. Like, we all had to start here. We've all, most of us have been, you know, baptized into the faith and have, you know, come through and have grown in multiple ways. And I think this is just a story of really how we can all relate to Jesus in terms of how we can continually to grow mm-hmm. closer to him, and not necessarily in a physical sense at this point for some of us that are adults, right? But to really continue to mm-hmm. grow in our faith and grow in our development of the fact that, again, we're buying into all he is and all he's done for us.
Yeah, which I think is good for our reflection on the presentation of the Lord, you know, which is one of the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, you know, so it's something we can ponder, you know, throughout the year.
Right.
Of just, yeah, that we belong to God. That's part of this, you know. You know, going on with, you know, that Jesus kind of lived as we did. I mean, he wasn't the only one ever presented in the temple. Like, his
right.
parents just did what everybody else was supposed to do.
Right, yeah.
You know, so they brought him in on the day that you bring babies in, you know, like everybody else does. As it says, you know, according to the law.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, you know, sort of followed, you know, did what they were supposed to do. Obviously, Simeon recognized how the specialness of this particular baby. That was sort of that offering, you know, of the turtle doves. Like, they're basically like offering the child to the Lord, but you're not gonna like leave this 40-day-old baby in the temple, literally.
No.
So they kind of buy him back, and then raise him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's kind of going on here.
Yeah.
But so recognizing that, you know, so just like with all of us, especially through our baptism, like you said, when we're adopted as beloved daughters and sons of God, we belong to
yeah.
God. You know, and then you know to recognize that. That reality, you know, that we belong to the Lord and we're to sort of, as we grow, that's part of what we're meant to step into and embrace and really and discern what that means, you know, as we live our life.
Absolutely.
And what our life is for.
Yeah, what our life is for sure. Like, why, you know, people ask all the time, like, why am I here? What's, you know, what's the meaning of life? Like, that right there, my opinion. Like, that's what you're living for. That's who you're living for. That's who you're living through. Who's living through you.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah, you know, Jesus would say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
And so he's meant to be our way, our truth, our life. That's kind of what we're meant to be about.
Right.
So,
yeah, you just follow the way.
Yep. So yeah, this is a great, it's a great feast day. But I also love too, with that, you know, we have these people who are waiting. You know, Simeon, you know, spent all these years in the temple, you know, awaiting the consolation of Israel.
Right.
You know, we have this prophetess Anna, you know, who literally lived in the temple for like decades.
Yeah.
You know, in prayer.
It's all this fulfillment stuff. Like it's all coming to a head.
Yep. But sometimes it takes time. Like these are not young people and they spent a lot of years waiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then we're able to recognize the presence, you know, of the Lord when he came. And to tell others about it as well. Like this prophetess Anna did. You know, sort of sharing the good news. That willingness to give testimony. So there's sort of that expectation and prayer, that kind of waiting, and there's the receiving, and there's the sharing. So we see all that take place in this too, you know, which can speak to our spiritual life and our life of prayer and our encounter with the Lord through prayer.
Absolutely. And those are, again, like you mentioned, those are kind of the stages of which sometimes, I mean, we pray and we ask God to intercede for us. And again, like I said, it kind of, all of it just kind of comes to a head really beautifully in this gospel, especially, again, building on last week's.
Yeah.
And as we head more into ordinary time throughout the next, you know,
month or so.
And then after that, you know, obviously Easter, and then 30 some more Sundays. Well, not after Easter, but. I'll get the math right at some point.
It'll happen.
How about we pray that I can clear my head and do the right math after after Easter?
Well, it would be something like that. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. God, we know that all time belongs to you and that you have put us here in this time and place for a reason. Help us to remember that you've claimed us as your own and brought us into your family, that we belong to you, and that you call us to grow strong and filled with wisdom, knowing that your favor is upon us, and to step into the reality of our Christian life. Help us to continue to be open to the signs of your presence and to share the wonders of your love with those around us. And so, Jesus, we love you and trust in you and ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you so much. Great conversation.
Thanks, Parker. Thanks, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you soon.